It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with ladies and gentlemen, especially the ladies, Kyle from LaGrange. Hey, man.
What's going on, Dave? How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I think, maybe, just maybe, I used this analogy before, like Smokey and the Bandit 3. We might have Bubba Rosenbaum. We'll see. I think maybe for a cameo. Good old Bandit was in there for a cameo. I think two scenes, but the late, great Burt Reynolds. But we'll see if we can get Bubba Rosenbaum. But
Does this make Brennan Gary Reed?
No, he's cool. No, okay. Brennan's cool. We got a, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very special guest who, oh, by the way, is, I did it on purpose, y'all, for our good friend Tim Brando. By the way, folks, you need to listen to the interview. He was awesome a couple weeks ago. But we have a new team member, Kyle, that we want to introduce.
Yeah, from parts unknown, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brennan Shapiro. Brennan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Brennan is a student at East Carolina, and he's going to be helping us. He's going to be going to the press conference for us and after practice to get audio for us because we have day jobs and we cannot get it in our schedule. Brennan is not taking the place of Bubba, just to be clear. Bubba will hopefully make a cameo on the podcast tonight. He'll have the interview with Julie Torbert a little later on, but Brennan is our fourth team member and will be helping us out and on the podcast. And Brennan, like you said, welcome to the podcast. He's so glad to be on. So tell people about yourself. Tell them about you.
Well, I'm a junior at ECU. I'm a Minji's maniac, so you know I'm familiar with ECU athletics and. And a ton of pirate pride.
Yeah, and he's single, ladies. So if any women out there are looking for an up and coming young man that's going places, there's Brennan Shapiro.
Yep. Want me to get my number?
Hey, well, let's don't give your number out on the podcast. But.
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So Dave. The press conference today, sad news. Coach Mike Houston lost his father. Your heart goes out to Coach Houston and his family.
I was going to say that, Brennan was there just showing him the ropes a little, but giving him a little taste of it. He's going to do an excellent job. And, you know, Brennan, you actually were probably at the most difficult press conference I've ever been to over the number of years. I'm getting old now. But anyway, Coach Houston, I tell you what, guys, today I have a deeper amount of respect for the man. He basically, as they said, John Gilbert said today, we have that on. We have the press conference, and we also have John Gilbert talking. We'll talk about that in just a little bit about this weekend. But he actually was a real man. He came out there, talked to us. Was doing his job. He showed a vulnerable side to him. I think he shows that the game of life, if you will, is more important than the game of football. As much as we love football, and God knows we do at East Carolina and sports. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know how much we love sports and a lot of other things, but it was very touching. He talked about a man who taught him how to play football and taught him how to shoot basketball and taught him basically, you know, about life. And he was very emotional. I thought that it was indicative of his character. He's transparent. He's real. He's raw. The honesty, I thought that it made me respect him more as a man. It also showed that we forget about the important things in life sometimes. And, you know, you heard a lot about when under Coach Montgomery, for example, well, he's a father, he's this, and that was true. You know, in our situation here today, losing Mike Houston, losing his dad, Bill, it was really sad. You could feel how much his dad meant to him. I'm sure it would be easy for him to come out there and be phony and fake, but I thought that gave me a deeper appreciation, respect, and I'm glad he came out there because everybody on this podcast is pro Mike Houston. I don't know if Brennan is. I'm sure he is.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure.
Okay, good. Okay. That's what I, sometimes I get that for, that way where I assume. But I was really proud of him, and I know it was very difficult. I want to give a shout-out to Parker Overton, who a big donor, obviously, for folks to know Overton's Sporting Goods. He actually let Coach Houston on his plane and to go out to Franklin, North Carolina, and spend, I guess, the last few hours of Bill Houston, his dad's life. And he came back, and apparently his dad passed away this morning, being Tuesday morning. So I just want to give a shout-out to Parker Overton, who's a great pirate, a great man, great leader in Greenville and Pitt County. And man, that's a tough thing. He actually said on Thursday it's a funeral, so they're going to get Coach Houston back out to Franklin for his family. And I just want to say, I know Kyle wants to talk too, but we, man, this was a huge loss. And I can't imagine what you're going through, Coach Houston. I know he listens to our podcast. And our hearts and prayers go out to you and the family. And it's rough, but we're all a team and a team of life. And I appreciate all that he's doing and will do for the Pirates. So I know, Kyle, you I know that it touched a lot of people today. It was a really – it caught us – I don't know, Brennan, it caught us off guard today at the press conference.
For sure, it did. It's very emotional. I have a great deal of respect for Coach Houston being able to get up there and have a press conference. I mean, I probably would have canceled it, honestly. That's a very difficult thing to do.
No, it is, and a lot of respect for Coach to do that. I'm like you, Brendan. I don't think I could have done it. It would have been, you know, just too hard. And obviously circumstances dictate, you know, different reactions. I don't know, but I'm going to assume his dad had been sick for a while. I don't know this to be a fact, but I would assume.
Yeah, judging by the way that Coach Houston reacted today,
yeah,
he was talking about, I think he's at peace with it, and that he knew spending time with him last night, he was able to let him go. And I think he was talking about how much of a fan his dad was of his, of, you know, of him coaching and whatever
right.
team he was coaching. And he said, I know that he wouldn't mind, in other words, for him to coach the game on Saturday. And the funeral is on Thursday, so it'll
yeah.
be 2 days before. So it's not like he's – it's not like
no.
it's Saturday and he's
yeah.
coaching the game.
Yeah, no, and it's sad. And it, like you said, and thoughts and prayers go out to Coach Houston and his wife and children and his mom. That maybe
he has a brother
anybody.
And a sister.
Right, all his siblings.
Right, yeah.
His mom more so than anybody. That's
yeah.
losing your spouse like that. She's going to need a lot of comforting. And so you know, thoughts and prayers to the whole family. And it's a very distracting week, man, for Coach Houston and the team. Not only does he have to deal with preparation for Gardner Webb, he's burying his father, and the hurricane
right.
is obviously a huge distraction right now. Everybody kind of watching it, and you know that'll. Thankfully, it's not going to move in until Thursday. You know, you really aren't doing much practicing that late in the week, so. Should be in good shape there, but got to make sure all the guys are all the guys on the team are somewhere safe and out of the weather, and so he's got a lot of additional responsibilities this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like you said, Cal. Thursday is normally just helmet. It's not really a big practice day. I'm not taking it for granted. As far as the funeral. But also when you're talking about the hurricane, that's when it's supposed to come in. You're looking at, I think, as we're recording this, I will say it like this because they're so unpredictable. Kyle and I, Brendan, if you didn't know, we love weather. I think that's probably Bubba said, they're going to bore me with weather, talking about weather. But I think the difference, too, is that Kyle and I have to deal with this about every year. He's in Newark County, and being in Martin County, we have to deal with and then you're in Greenville, Brennan, but being in the eastern part of the state, you have to deal with at least, for the most part, it seems like one hurricane a year, or the remnants of a bigger hurricane maybe in Florida. But I tell you, it looks like to me, Kyle, I don't know about you, Brennan, it looks like we'll get a lot of rain on Thursday. And then they're talking, what is it, 79 degrees on Saturday? I mean, it's going to be a gorgeous day.
Yeah, it's going to be nice Saturday. Thursday into Friday, we're going to get rain, and we're going to get wind, too. I think people are maybe downplaying the wind a little too much. The latest track I saw brought the eye right over Morehead City. And so at least
– Morehead City?
Yeah, Morehead – yeah, get it right. Okay. So at least in the Kinston area, we'll get a lot of wind, too. So everybody just stay safe out there, but we should be good to go on Saturday, unless we have some massive or something, power outages or something.
Right.
Good to go.
I'm worried about a lot of the students just, you know, evacuating. And I mean, they're not evacuating campus. They did cancel classes for Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm a little concerned about that, you know, going into the game. The crowd might be a little bit far.
Have you heard, or a lot of students planning on going home that weren't because classes being canceled on Friday?
I mean, I haven't heard anything. You know, just I think there's potential for for people to assume the worst and prepare for it, which is not a bad thing.
Well, what you got to do, Brennan? What you got to do is. You got to have Dave make as much noise as he can. But what you got to do, Brendan, is while you're on campus there, you got to go around to the students and you got to plan a couple of big hurricane parties. Or even if they're not playing, just lie. Just go around and say, hey, guys, did you hear about the huge hurricane party that Kappa Phi, your mama's having? And, you know, yeah, it's going to be awesome. You got to be, just talk that crap up and make all the students want to stay.
That'll work. That'll work. Provide alcohol, and they'll show up.
Well, I mean, the parties don't even have to be real. You can just make them up, and then, you know, as long as they stay.
Yeah.
If it's East Carolina, too, if it's East Carolina, some party will break out anyway, so you'll sound like a genius.
Yeah, just promote hurricane parties. Just you know, get kids to stay that way.
Sounds good to me.
If only the students were as excited about Pirate football as they are about partying, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, it'll come back, Brennan. It'll come back when we start winning.
It will. That
Boneyard used to be packed every game. It'll come back. You're there on campus. You got to get them fired up. You got to get them, you know.
Get them juiced up, right? Get them lathered up. Hey, by the way, Kyle, today – had a chance to be with John Gilbert right after Mike Houston. He said, I don't know if you remember this, Brennan, he's downplaying the crowd. He mentioned season ticket update, folks. We've been saying this, 1-800-ECU, ecupirates.com. You get your tickets. We're now, by the way, Kyle, we're at 14,000 right now, roughly.
Okay.
And he's expecting 30,000 at the game. So I think that he's, they're sensing that, obviously, season tickets are not where they need to be. People are kind of a wait and see, as he said. In addition, you have the fact that you have that plus, I
the
think
hurricane.
People are nervous about the weather. Yeah.
And I think we'll have over 30. It's going to be a beautiful day Saturday.
Yeah,
we'll have some last-minute people with the weather being like it is. I think we'll have over 30. I think we'll be around 35 or so.
I hope that's so. What I went with 35 back in the spring. I'm going to stick with 35,000. Yeah, guys, I want to mention, too, with John Gilbert today was talking, something we had on social media, and it was everywhere, was about fan-friendly pricing. One of the things that he talked about, and I thought that overall, I know, Kyle, you wanted to talk about it because me and Kyle, Bubba, we all have been talking about fan-friendly pricing. We even had Ryan Robinson on, and we talked to him a good length about that. I think that it's they listen to the fans. This administration loved them and appreciate them for listening to the fans. We're very passionate, and I think they did a good job overall. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, it's an improvement. Hot dogs going from $4 to $2 is great. I don't know how I feel about the switching brands. We're going to Brightleaf, to some brand from Massachusetts. But, you know, I'll judge it once I taste it. At least it's $2 cheaper. So $2 for a hot dog, that's great. Nachos, $2, that's or is it $3? $3. That's fine. $3 for a pretzel, that's fine. I hope I'm getting these prices right. I haven't got them in front of me. Water, I didn't know water was going from 4 to 3. I thought that was still a dollar too much. 22-ounce soda, $3. I think that's a dollar too much. Bratwurst from 5.50 to 5. Okay.
Didn't the chicken tenders went up, right? It went from like 6
no,
to
no,
7?
No, no, no. Chicken tenders were 8. That's a combo with fries. They went from 8 to 7, so that's good.
Okay.
But overall, the prices are down. So that's a good thing. A lot more affordable. They're going to add some concessions. They got Simply Natural Creamery that was there for baseball. They'll be at the football games. They said they're gonna have several Papa John's kiosks throughout the stadium, and kind of an odd thing. All the Papa John's kiosks are also going to sell boiled peanuts along with pizza.
That sounds something like you would do, Kyle.
Yeah, pizza and boiled peanuts. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm in favor of boiled peanuts being sold. I just thought it was an odd pairing.
Yeah, it's not a combination.
It is. And they're also going to have some new kettle corn company. And I am always in favor of kettle corn.
I like kettle corn, yeah.
Yeah.
So I am not a fan. By the way, folks, I will tell you, I'm not a fan of boiled peanuts. So.
Boiled peanuts are good. You know, they're not one of my absolute favorites. That's something I got to have, but I do enjoy them from time to time. I'll tell you, have you ever tried deep-fried peanuts?
No, I like the regular old
deep-fried peanuts. You actually eat the shell. They fry them in the shell. The shell becomes edible. You just throw the whole thing in your mouth.
Okay, I'll have to try that. I have never tried deep-fried peanuts. How about you, Brendan? I think that's something you have every day, right?
I'm actually allergic to peanuts, so, you know.
Okay, well,
oh, you damn millennial with your peanut allergies.
I'm going to stick with the kettle corn and the hot dogs and the everything else we just talked about.
All right.
Okay, now, what is your opinion on the price, and has that been a problem for you as a student in the past, the prices of our concessions?
It has, and I think them lowering the prices, I think that's a really positive thing. You know, I think it'll get more people in the stands, and by doing so, I think that'll generate more revenue than higher prices and less people buying. I mean, I'm no expert.
No, I agree. I agree. I think lower prices will actually create more revenue because more people will be buying. Now, how old are you, Brendan? I know you're in 20s. Are you over 21?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, well, now, are you excited about alcohol being sold at the stadium?
I am.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it's unreasonably priced.
No, not for an event, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just high enough that most students are not going to get absolutely slammed off of the alcohol at the stadium alone.
Right.
Right.
But to that out in the tailgate lot before. And, you know, I think it's better than people sneaking in airplane bottles and, you know.
No, I agree with you.
It's more regulated.
And like you said, it is just high enough. 12-ounce beer is still $5. It's going to cost you $30 to drink 6 beers. That's a mighty expensive 6-pack. So,
right.
I mean, it's still high enough where I'm not going to go get out there and I got a pretty high tolerance. It'd probably take me 12 to get drunk.
Wow.
I'd be damned if I'm going to drink 12 beers at $5 a piece.
So you're
going to go broke.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm a lightweight, so, you know.
Yeah, 3 or 4, you'll probably be getting buzzed. But
yeah,
it's
not a problem for me at all.
So, you know, to be honest with you, let's say we're blowing out Gardner Webb. Let's hope. I may go enjoy a couple beers, but if it's a tight game, I won't be drinking anything. I want to be too focused on the game to drink alcohol. Now, like I say, when it's a blowout, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I got a feeling that'll be the case for a lot of people. If we're handling Gardner Webb Saturday, and believe me, over the last couple of years, our luck against FCS opponents, I'm not taking anybody for granted. But
no, yeah, me neither.
Let's say things go as planned. It'll be interesting to see if beer sales are up for people just enjoying the game and drinking a beer, being able to be relaxed.
Well, I think if we are getting blown out, they're probably going to be way up.
Well, I disagree because I think people will just leave. You know, if things in the past, if we're getting blown out, people just leave.
That's true. For me, I'm one of those fans that stays till the end. And
well, I will probably
to be able to bear it, you know. But
no, I will probably now. Now with Coach Houston's here, I used to stay when Ruff was here, when Holt, Logan, et cetera.
Yeah,
I used to stay to the end, no matter what. But during the Montgomery era, I was gone because I was so frustrated, aggravated, and angry. And now you're right. With Coach Houston here, well, let's hope we don't see any blowouts. But if we do, I'll plan on sticking around. So, yeah, I may enjoy a couple beers.
So do you think, guys, do you think the number of people arrested, will that go up? Because I'll be honest with you. You guys know I don't care. I've been thinking that we should have alcohol for many years. But I've heard people that it's in the minority, but they are saying they're worried about alcohol sales being at the stadium. I guess some people, it's beyond religious. I think sometimes it's just the fact that we've never done it, and so it's something new. And they don't want to – we've always done it this way, so we should always keep it this way. That's my take.
I'm not worried about it. Now, I'm no expert on this, but I've heard that a bunch of other places have tried it. And, you know, colleges about our size or maybe even a little bit larger. And, you know, I've heard it actually reduces the amount of fights. I don't know how it would.
I do. Because people don't feel the need to get absolutely blistered before they come
bench drinking.
That's true.
What happens is people get out there in the parking lot and they binge drink and just get absolutely.
Especially for a night game.
We try not to cuss on the podcast, but they get shit faced before they come into the stadium, and you know that's not a good thing. Now, hopefully, what will happen is people will drink more moderately and know that they can keep drinking when they come inside, and won't come in already just drunk off their butt. So, I don't think it's going to cause any more arrests. Let's hope not. Let's hope people can control themselves.
And I think people are just going to get drunk at a football game no matter what.
Absolutely.
I mean there's going to be fights. Hopefully there will be less, you know. Hopefully there will be a reduction, you know, if anything. But
How about that fight between the South Carolina fans and the North Carolina fans? Did you see that going viral?
That's the Carolina way.
That was a 55. Bunch of slapping, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a bunch of preps from UNC and South Carolina, a bunch of frat boys. What more you expect?
Yeah, I was cheering for South Carolina, but I don't think either team won that.
No. Nobody was a winner in that situation, except perhaps East Carolina, NC State, and Clemson fans.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
They love to rag on us and talk about how we're the party school who always causes all the problems. But
Yeah,
a little hypocritical there.
And Brennan, by the way, hey Brennan,
yeah.
You actually go to class, right?
Oh yeah.
You'll have like papers mailed in for you, right?
Nope. And all my classes are 100% authentic. I can assure you of that.
Okay. I'm just checking. I'm sorry for the folks in Chapel Hill, but we get ragged on for being ECU, but we still go to class. And
all right, I gotta before we go to Julie Torbert and get in talk volleyball. I'm gonna see how much Brennan knows about East Carolina football. I'm gonna throw a little trivia at you, Brennan.
Okay.
All right, have you studied the history of East Carolina football at all? I know you didn't become a fan until you became a student here.
Somewhat. I mean, I'm not an expert. But,
all right, I'm going to start off easy. Okay. Well, what was the last year East Carolina won a conference championship in football?
Let's see. 2013?
No.
Or was that
who was the head coach when East Carolina won a conference championship in football last?
Ruffin McNeil?
No. You're doing terrible, Brendan. You're doing terrible. Skip Holt.
Okay.
Skip Holt. 2009. Now, you're missing the 2013 season. How many wins did we have in 2013?
Let's see. 10?
10. That's very correct. Good. Very good. Wow. Very good. Now, do you know what bowl game we won in 2013?
The Beef O'Brady Bowl.
You got it. You're on a roll, baby. Are you on Wikipedia?
All right. No, I'm not.
Okay. Who was Ruffin McNeil's offensive coordinator?
Lincoln Riley.
Very, very good. Who was the starting quarterback for Lincoln Riley and Ruffin McNeil during the majority of their tenure?
Let's see. Shane Carden.
Shane Carden. There you go. All right. Yeah. There was a wide receiver. There was a wide receiver who caught a lot of passes from Shane Carden. He plays for the Atlanta Falcons. Who is he?
Justin Hardy.
Justin Hardy. There you go. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
You're on a roll. The starting quarterback for the Peach Bowl season was who?
Okay, that's a little harder. I'm familiar with the Peach Bowl season, but not the whole roster.
We just need the quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah. Number 5.
Played for the Bengals for a long time.
Yep. And the Jets, right?
Yeah, but more so for the Bengals.
Yeah, towards it, yeah.
I'm not
alone. Come on, Brennan. Jeff Blake.
Jeff Blake. I've heard the name.
Okay, all right. Maybe you don't know that far back. Maybe we should stick more recent history.
Last 5 years.
Let's see. I'm gonna try to throw something else out at you. Scotty Montgomery beat what team in his first game as head coach at East Carolina?
The Western Carolina?
Yeah, Western Carolina. You got it.
Before I got here.
And let's see. Let me end it on
52-7, by the way.
Let me end it on a strong note. In 2015, Ruffin McNeil's final season, East Carolina beat Virginia Tech in an upset in Greenville. A quarterback made his debut that game. Can you name that quarterback? He was never an official. Well, yeah, he did start the second half of the 2015 season. But he was kind of an athlete. He played some at quarterback, played some at running back, played some at receiver.
Did he stay at ECU very long?
He was here 2 seasons.
Was it Kurt Benkert?
It was not Kurt Benkert.
Oh,
no, he went down.
Kurt Benkert got injured before the 2015 season.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it Philip Nelson?
It was not Philip Nelson. Philip Nelson was here but was not eligible to play. And 15.
No, I'm not sure.
James Summers.
Summertime.
Yeah, James Summers. And you should go back on YouTube and watch the tape of that 2015 East Carolina Virginia Tech game.
Yep.
I want to say that was the last great game East Carolina had, but that's not true. The 2016 NC State game.
Yeah,
was a great game and a nice victory. But anyway, you did. I'll give you a C plus to a B minus.
Yeah, he did way
I'll
better.
I'll take it for now.
Yeah. You just got to study your history.
Yeah.
Program started history. 1932, by the way, for football.
Yeah. So you got. Yeah, in fact, what we're going to do is get Terry Gallagher on here to quiz you on the 70s.
he'll be the tutor. Yeah, exactly. What we need to do for Brennan, he'll be our tutor for the 70s, or especially the middle to late 70s is Gallagher. And we'll have somebody from the different eras to come on and tutor Brennan.
Tutor Brennan. Okay. Hey, let's talk a little. The sport I can really get behind is volleyball. You want to talk to Jolie Philbert right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Bubba Rosenbaum had a chance to talk to her today, and appreciate Coach. I think they're doing pretty well, and looks like they'll have a good season. Let's talk to Coach Torbett now.
All right. It's volleyball season, and very excited to catch up with the seventh-year head coach of the Pirates, Julie Torbett. Coach, welcome into the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate your time. We know your program has made tremendous strides over your six-plus years at the helm, now entering year seven. You had an excellent weekend up in Fairfax, Virginia at George Mason. So let's just start right there and talk about the weekend that you had against the Patriots and then also the Providence Friars.
Well, we were supposed to be in Puerto Rico, so we've been having to deal with Hurricane Dorian for over a week now. But we were supposed to play Providence and George Mason while we were there, as well as Evansville. So we just went ahead and moved the tournament up to George Mason, so that was nice of them to host, and we were able to play two of the three teams we were supposed to play. So we got those matches in. And, you know, George Mason finished fourth last year in their conference, and so we hadn't played them in a long time, but I thought we started off the season really well, and we controlled our match against them in every statistical category, as well as just the flow of the game and everything. We controlled the tempo, so that was good to see for our opener. We were anxious to play and get out there with the opponent on the other side of the net.
And then in that Providence game, and that was one that went five sets, correct? Three games to two?
Yes, and that was an important match for us in a couple ways. The last time we met Providence was 2 years ago at a tournament at Stetson, and they beat us in about 45 minutes before we ever even knew what happened. And really, we kind of thought we were the better team, but just didn't show up for that match, which happens, unfortunately. Always like to right those wrongs, as I call it, on the record book, and have your last match against an opponent that you beat them. So we did that. But we also didn't win any five-set matches last year, which is really unusual as well. So that was good to get a five-set match win under our belt early. As much as I'd like to win in three, that was just a good test for our team. And then they're, of course, in the Big East. So somebody we occasionally play, but just somebody that's playing in a good league and good volleyball week in, week out.
Before we talk about the rest of your schedule, obviously 2-0 now, but let's take a look at your roster. I know you only have one senior, and that is middle blocker Toya Swegbu. And in addition to her, I know you have a very strong junior class with the likes of outside hitters Bree Wood and then also Sydney Kleinman. So talk about those young ladies, and then we'll have setters Shelby Martin and Marissa Harmon, a couple of tremendously talented ladies that hail from the state of Texas that are setters that we'll talk about here in just a moment.
Okay, well, yeah, the roster, we've been very young. We only had one senior last year, and so 2 years ago when we had the best season in school history, we had five seniors. That's typical. So you go through building phases of your program. Some people call it rebuilding, reloading, whatever words you want to use. But, you know, we were in one of those seasons last year and then had the injury bug as well, so that was a very frustrating season to go through, and those girls got through it and remember that and have worked really hard in the off season. When you make a lot of growth as a team is actually in the off season, so I've been really happy with the junior class and the sophomore class and how much improvement that they've made. Toy is a veteran now, 4 years with the program. Didn't really see a lot of playing time her freshman year, but only having one senior, it's nice that we have a big group of juniors to help her with the leadership role.
And in terms of Wood and Kleinman, the performance they had this weekend, I saw where both of them had tremendous weekends and then had a double-double in that victory over Providence.
Yeah, they're having to do a lot. Both of those players play six rotations, so that means they're out there the entire time. They're really the only two that are out there the entire time with what offense we're running, and then the libero even has to come off for one person to serve in her place. And so they're the two that are out there the entire time, and I thought that they passed really well and played very good defense to get those double-doubles. You have to be good offensively and defensively pretty much to earn those numbers, but 19 kills and for each of them in the match against Providence, so I I think that they just did a great job, and the outside hitters have to kind of clean up the mess. If there's a bad pass or a dig that doesn't go right up to your setter, they have to hit balls coming from all different angles from the setters. And I just thought that they both did a really good job for us.
Let's talk about those two talented junior setters you have. Let's first turn our attention to Shelby Martin. She's someone that's been in your program, and I know she was she ranks eighth all time with approaching 2,000 assists. But she's a all AAC preseason selection. So talk a little bit about Shelby.
Yeah, Shelby is a attacking setter. She's a great setter. She's started for us for the last 2 years. So yeah, junior this year, definitely knows the program and knows how we like to run things. Was rookie of the year her freshman year on that really good team that I mentioned, and so has been able to gain all that valuable experience within the program. And but we were able to get a transfer from Wyoming and Marissa Harmon, and to have two talented setters like that. She was a rookie of the year in that league as a freshman at Wyoming. To have both of them on the roster, that just allows you to do a lot of different things. We can have a lineup where they're both out there. We can have a lineup where, you know, only one of them's out there. They're both left-handed. They're both fairly big. So it's just allowing us to have a lot of options offensively that we've never had before.
Let's talk a little bit about your schedule. I mean, you talked about the opening weekend. I know this coming weekend you're traveling down to Jacksonville, Florida, where you're playing at North Florida, and then also Mercer and Wake Forest.
Yeah, we hope to be heading down that way. I think it looks okay. You know, the travel part, we're taking a bus, so we're not flying, so that helps that we can take our time and get down there. But yeah, we want to get as many matches in. Obviously the preseason is to get us ready for conference, and when you're down to playing two a weekend, so we didn't like that we lost the match this weekend, and probably won't be able to make that match up. So you know, we're happy that we're going to get to go down there. And all things, like I said, look ago, North Florida was just up here in a Wilmington tournament this past weekend. We know what the matches, what they did this past weekend, and are already preparing for them. We had to take yesterday off for our day off, but get back in the gym today and work on the things that we didn't do so well, and look to our opponents for this weekend to have another successful, hopefully, 3-0 weekend.
And then about a week and a half from now, a little over a week and a half from now, you guys will be hosting the Pirate Invitational at Williams Arena at Minchie's Coliseum. So tell Pirate Nation about that event.
Well, we love to play at home, and it's free this year. So that's a really big, important thing to note. You know, free entertainment, it's going to be exciting, good volleyball. So we have some good teams coming in, and we always, like I said, like to host and have people come watch us. That creating that game atmosphere with a lot of fans. We have George Washington coming in, Norfolk State, and USC Upstate. So, you know, somewhat local teams. They won't probably bring a huge crowd, though. So if we can get Pirate Nation to come off weekend from football, if they can come out and watch some volleyball, I think they'll be really pleased with what we're doing out there on the court.
And transitioning to, let's talk about conference play. I know in the American, last year was a bit of a disappointment, and that goes without saying. But then the previous year, like you referenced, the Pirates were 13-5 in the AAC. So just talk about how you see the conference shaping up this year. Who are some of the other top programs that will be the primary competition?
Well, we split into divisions for the first time. So we are in the East Division, which has the top two teams in the conference that were the number one and two pick and finished 1-2 last year in UCF and Cincinnati. So they're going to be really tough, and they're in our division. And Cincinnati has one of the top players in the entire country, could be potentially player of the year for the entire country, in Jordan Thompson. She played for the national team that earned a bid to go to the Olympics, so she very possibly could be on the Olympics or playing in the Olympics in the summer. So she's going to be a good player to watch and is a fifth-year senior, so we'll be done with her after this year. But I look to those two teams for sure to be the strongest in the conference. And then on the other side, it's kind of up for grabs between Tulane and Tulsa probably. Wichita State's down a little bit and SMU. But it's just a really tough league. It's exciting. We love to play in this league because it is top volleyball. We're probably going to be fifth or sixth overall conferences in the country behind the Power Five schools and then our conference. So, that's good. It's a good position for ECU to be in.
And I know a lot of times you'll see like SEC or Pac-12 volleyball on television. Are any of your matches televised on the American Digital Network?
That will be coming in the next year. They haven't announced if we have generally like two games maybe in late October, November, right before basketball is going to start. They've televised some of them. Pretty much it's been like Cincinnati and Wichita State, some of the more predominantly they know are going to finish up there in the top. We may be on the ACC network. We play NC State, so I think that game may get picked up. I'm not sure how that's a new network as well, what that will be available on. But in the future, there's definitely going to be four or five volleyball matches a year that will be our matches that will be aired. And that's a great thing because the more we can get out there. Now, all of our games are streamed, so anyone can go on the computer and watch them. They just go to our schedule, and there's a little video camera icon, and you click on that, and those matches are streamed, all of our home matches and all of our American Athletic Conference's matches. But they're not a program with an announcer and play-by-play and that kind of thing unless they're on the digital network.
For some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with the volleyball process in terms of the postseason tournament, NCAA tournament, that is, tell folks how it works as far as how many teams are involved. Obviously, basketball, you have 68, and baseball, 64, so on. So how does it work with volleyball?
Yeah, we have 64 as well, so your bracket's going to be very similar to your basketball bracket without the first four in or four out, whatever they call that, the play-in type of games. We don't have that. So we do have a field of 64, and those are picked with automatic bids for the different conferences, I think 32, and then you got your 32 at large, which mostly goes to the Big Ten and some of the bigger conferences will get 6, 7, 8 teams in. So our conference this year felt like having a conference tournament was going to help us get maybe more teams into the NCAA tournament. So you have your automatic berth to NCAA will be your tournament champion. But then if your regular season champion isn't the tournament champion, a lot of times that's a case to get that team in. And then if there's an upset in the tournament, sometimes that will get more teams in. So we saw that trend and that tendency in some of the conferences that had conference tournaments, and so we decided as a league to go ahead and add a conference tournament. So I'm excited about that. It will also give the lower teams, when you get towards that second half of the season and you're kind of out of contention potentially for going to NCAAs, it still gives you something to play for because you got to play those matches, and so you don't want those to be throwaway games. You want to go down there and compete. So that will give us, because we only take six teams. But we also have an NIVC just like the NIT. So we just missed making the NIVC, which would have been the first post game ever 2 years ago. So we have our goal set on making postseason play, whether it's the NCAA tournament, of course, which is what we hope for, or the NIVC, so that we have an opportunity to play past our regular season.
And as far as determining those at-large selections that you were referencing, obviously you can look at a team schedule, but is there an RPI, and what all metrics are used in order to determine those?
Yeah, they have a tournament committee just like they do in basketball. There's some head scratchers. I really felt like we should have been in for the NIVC, but we had dropped a match to Tulane that year, and they figured we wouldn't sweep Cincy. Those were our last two matches. We had to play Cincy away and then Cincy at home, and we ended up beating them both of those matches. And so I think in retrospect, then IVC would have liked to, because we had offered to host as well. We bid to host. So we could have had a match here here in Greenville in the opener of the NIVC. And so I think after the fact, the committee had already chose when we dropped that late match to Tulane. And so it left us out. So there's a lot of those kind of things happen, just sitting on the bubble. But your best bet is to win the conference tournament, and that way you're guaranteed in, or at least be in the conference final, you know, with an RPI in the top 50. That's going to be your best bet to get in, and you got to play good teams. So we're excited NC State agreed to play us. That'll give us a good team with a high RPI in the preseason. And then of course our league is so tough, we're playing top 75 teams in the league, so you got to get a couple of those wins and you got to have a winning record. So there's, yeah, those metrics, those formulas and how they come up with who gets to go. And so we, like I said, that's one of our goals, is to play in postseason, and we're moving in that direction.
Coach, the final question I have for you, obviously in recruiting can vary from sport to sport. I mean, in football, you'll have different one-day combines or events where coaches from numerous schools are there. What's it like in volleyball?
Well, volleyball, we have huge tournaments. They're called qualifiers, so they'll be all over the country, different cities, just about every weekend. There's a tournament you could go watch in the spring. And so that's our main recruiting time, is really from February through May. And then we have our summer camps, which we want the recruits to come so we can get to know them and get to work with them on our court. And they stay in our dorms and they eat in our cafeteria so they can really get a feel, because we don't really like that transfer thing. We don't want a lot of kids transferring out where you have to start over. We've done a really good job here of not having a lot of transfers. We get the transfers coming in that didn't have a good experience where they were. We'll take a few of those. We don't want to have a whole team of those, but we'll take a few. But we don't want to have kids transferring out. So we've had very minimal number of players that want to leave ECU, which is showing us that we're doing a great job with the student athlete experience. They're getting a good education. They're able to balance everything, which I think is a problem at some of the places. They just have a hard time with the balance. And we got a kid from Minnesota, and she literally had no life, you know, couldn't do anything because it was all volleyball. So it's just a better balance here of family and being able to enjoy a little bit of what college is about, but very focused on playing at a high level. And so recruiting is just always a moving thing. So we do have this really big class, so we're going to have a lot of new faces coming into the program over the next couple of years.
And that, the player retention and continuity that you reference, and it certainly paid dividends as this program's certainly grown by leaps and bounds during your 6+ years at the helm, now in year 7.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It takes time. You know, it takes time to build a program. And when I got here, it was, you know, they'd only won 2 matches the previous 3 years. So the seniors that I kept, and we didn't run anyone out. So everyone that was on the team stayed in the program until they graduated. So I think our seniors had a 6-and-something record. 15 wins over 4 years is pretty abysmal. And so we won 13, I think, in the first year. And that definitely let people know, hey, we can turn this thing around. We can have really good volleyball at ECU. And so it's now pretty respectable. I mean, I definitely have some goals for the program that we haven't achieved yet, and I want it to be a program that's sustaining year after year. And you have to have 4-year kids. You can't have just transfers coming in that are only here for a year or two. We don't really go the graduate route, so we don't have the one and done type of kids. So they're able to buy into the process. They're able to be diehard alums when they leave here because they've been here 4 years and they know the culture, and they know they want to come back and still take part in alumni weekend and following football and basketball and the other sports. So I think that is a really important part of the process, and that if you're going to do it that way, it's going to take a little bit more time.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate your time. It's been great catching up. We really appreciate everything you've done for East Carolina volleyball and advancing that program and what you will continue to do. And best of luck to you and the ladies this season.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Pirate Nation, that is 7th year head volleyball coach Julie Torbett.
Great job, Bubba. We were actually at the football press conference when he had a chance to talk to her. So, hey, we missed you, Coach, but appreciate her very much. Talk about a turnaround of a program, somebody that can build a program. Get Coach Julie Torbett. She took a program. They had 6 wins in 3 seasons. And if you know volleyball, they play about 20-some games. So it was one of those situations before she was hired. We were praying the girls would win, you know, a game and the volleyball team. And she's come around, done an excellent job and building the program. So very proud of her, very proud of the girls. And they're working hard. And definitely I know it'll be a great season. Look forward to see how the season plays out for them. And, you know, it'd be nice. One of the things Coach wants, I know, is to make it to the tournament. So that would be a real big deal for us at East Carolina. So can't wait for that. And got to give a shout-out to Coach Terry Holland. That was one of his last hires there, Kyle, as you know.
Yeah, Miss T.H. Terry Holland's the best athletic director. With all due apologies to Dave Hart and John Gilbert, Terry Holland's the best athletic director we've ever had, and missed that guy.
Hopefully we can get him on the podcast. Terry, we love you.
Yes.
Want to have him on.
Brendan, do you know any volleyball players?
I don't, actually. Another area.
Okay.
You need to work on that.
Yeah, by the way, the guys, keep in mind, speaking of family, the fan-friendly pricing, they actually did a study and to try to get more people to the volleyball games and to women's soccer. This year, they're absolutely free. So if you want to go to the games, look up the schedule. Take your family and friends and support the Pirates.
What, they did a study and they found out people prefer paying nothing?
They're just trying to get more people there.
It took a study for them to figure that out?
Well, they actually did. And so, again, this group we have now is actually listening to the fans, Kyle. They're listening to the fans.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We're trying to get people to the games. And so
right.
Appreciate that for the fact that they listen to the fan base and not just decide that we're a bunch of hicks and we don't drive fancy cars or anything. Those only
well, like
that,
Comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I drive my BMW. Sorry.
Yeah.
We have an athletic director right now, Brendan, that drives a truck, so love that.
Yeah, that's what we need in this side of the state, you know, people who understand the common people.
Exactly.
That's what East Carolina is all about.
What, you know, people who are not necessarily the elite.
Right. Not everybody can go to private schools. And, you know, not everybody can go to private schools growing up and live in Pinehurst.
Hey,
wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You're stepping on some toes on this podcast.
No, I grew up in Rockingham, okay?
Okay, all right, yeah.
A little less, well off.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you. You know what? There's nothing wrong with being well off. If your family, if you come from a family of money, that's not an incriminating thing anyway. You know.
No.
You can. Your parents can have money. You can have money. You can grow up wealthy. You can be wealthy. You can be successful and still be humbled. You know.
Yes.
John Gilbert is a good example of that. You know. He's an AD making a nice living, just like Jeff Comfer was. Yet, you know, he doesn't go around acting like a pompous ass, unlike Jeff Comfer.
Yeah, he has humility, and you know, can relate to the common person. I like that about him.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're a big donor, the previous athletic director, that's the only one people he talked to. We're not saying we're anti big donors. We're just saying
be good to
everybody.
You need big donors to make athletic programs run. But you also need, just like you need that $1 million donor, you need all the $100 donors because there's way more $100 donors than there is $1 million donors.
Oh, yeah. And the $1 million donors, they don't fill a stadium.
Exactly. Exactly.
They sit in the boxes.
I don't know. we're a hard-working school, you know, kind of blue-collar in a lot of ways. And, you know, I'm proud of that. I am.
I'm proud of that too. You know, Brendan. I know that I remember the day that Cecil, that we heard about Cecil was not going to be here anymore, and I remember how sad Kyle was. He had like these tears go like just streaming down his face, and
tears of joy.
But, you know, that was one of the things that drove me crazy about the chancellor at the time, because he didn't get who we are as people from, for example, Kyle and I are from Eastern North Carolina. We're proud of it. And he was trying to make us in East Carolina. Sorry, Chancellor, but it's not ECU. It's East Carolina University. He was trying to make us something we're not. And then it drove me crazy with the previous administration about how we were always like we're stupid. No, you're not supposed to be this way. You're ignorant. You're supposed to be this way. And I'm like, no, you're the person coming here. You don't understand the culture and what it's like to be from Eastern North Carolina. Just like because I'm from North Carolina, in particular the Triangle and now Eastern North Carolina, I don't know what it's like for people to even live in the western part of the state or anywhere else, but I do know what it's like. This is my home, and you're coming to my home, and you're telling me how to live. And that's so refreshing now that we have administration who they can relate to us, they get us, and they understand that they work for us.
Absolutely. And I think we have a culture, or not now so much as, you know, a few, I guess it was months ago. I guess, is it coming up on a year now?
Since, what's that?
Our chancellor has departed?
No. It was back in the spring.
May.
Yeah,
okay.
May. Yeah, well, Chancellor Gerlach has been here for a couple months, and he's interim, and he's doing a good job. But I'm interested to see if Chancellor Dan, as a lot of people call him, will become the permanent chancellor. Have you had a chance to meet him, Brennan?
I haven't, but, you know, so much has changed already. I mean, he's done so much just in the attitude around here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what I was getting at is we've had a cultural issue here the past few years. And, you know, I haven't been around like you guys have for many, many years, but, you know, I can tell. I was actually at that game a few years ago, I believe it's 2014, when ECU was playing UNC in that football game where
we won 70.
UNC 70 to, what, 41?
Yep.
Something like that.
You go, Brennan, yeah.
Yeah, at the time, I hate to say it, but I was a UNC fan. But I saw that culture here. You know, I saw that excitement, that passion, and I was like, yeah, UNC isn't like this. You know, this is something special. And, you know, I came here, and as a student at first, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, where is this at? You know, and it was a cultural issue. You know, our former administration had forced on us. And I think that's being fixed and rectified, and I'm happy about that. It just feels like a brand new start.
No, that's exactly right. It was, you know, it's. I don't even think they had a culture, Brennan. So it's not a culture they forced on us. They took our culture. They were trying to take our culture away. And make us something we weren't. And you know, and you can get into conspiracy theorists, and I don't like to be one, but you know, I swear, the more and more I think about it, I wonder if it's true. You know, there are those that believe during that time we were dominating NC State and UNC in football. And there are those that believe that we were sabotaged intentionally to kind of kill our football program. And and lo and behold, you look where NC State is now, and UNC's got Mack Brown. And so who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe there was some truth to it. I don't know.
And Jeff Comfort used to work in NC State, too.
Exactly. So,
a lot of politics to go into it. A lot behind the scenes.
Oh, a ton
of
politics. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And going back into the Cecil State and hire, we won't even get into that. That's a whole other
podcast.
It makes me mad.
Yeah. No,
I feel like we're always at a disadvantage politically here. You know, we're on the eastern side of the state. You know, the part of the state that gets, I guess, ignored or forgotten about.
Correct.
More than the rest of the state. We're, you know, we've always been, we've had that party school reputation, which I feel like is really, I feel like that's really more of a stereotype.
Right.
I don't think that's true any more than UNC is a party school, or NC State, or App, or UNC Charlotte, or whatever. You know, I think that every school is a party school, but I feel like that's a way to keep us down. And, you know, that's something that I've always felt like was unfair, and I feel like that puts a chip on our shoulder. And I think that that's what's so unique about our culture, is we have a chip on our shoulder. You know, we don't get the kind of money that these other schools do, but we still find a way to make it work. And we work hard, and we're always trying to prove ourselves.
You know, absolutely, and that's what makes East Carolina unique. That's what makes Pirates Pirates. It's what makes us us.
Right.
Eastern North Carolina is a rural area, by and large, that gets forgotten about by the rest of the state. You got the University of East Carolina that, you know, always feels like we're at odds against the ACC schools. So it is who we are and what we are. And we need to embrace it and grow it. And, you know, as much as I love a fight, you hope maybe you get to the point where we don't have to fight for every damn thing. You know, you have a Pirate right now running the UNC system and Harry Smith.
Yeah, true.
So hopefully he'll keep doing good things. And not to get too political, but maybe Alan Thomas will get elected to Congress. Or
good Senate. Good Democrat.
Senate, Congress.
Congress,
thank you.
The House of Representatives, yeah.
So hopefully get AT up there. That can only help the university and for Allen to be in D.C. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, we fought all this time, and if we have to keep fighting for everything we get, then we'll keep fighting.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, I think we've rambled enough.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I want to remind folks certainly to be listening on for our Pirate preview coming out in the next couple of days. And we have one of my good friends and a guy that's been putting up with me since I started my radio career in 1996 from the booth and other shows, Jeff Charles, voice of the Pirates, will join us. And, you know, we had difficult, well, let's just say right now that we've reached out to Gardner Webb. So for the Gardner Webb fans out there, the Bulldogs, we've tried really hard to get the Gardner Webb perspective. Maybe we'll have one of those last-minute game time kind of things, audibles, where we get someone for Gardner Webb. But we've reached out to media.
Get this out ASAP. Maybe somebody will hear it.
Yeah, we'll get it out. But we're trying to get Gardner Webb people, or at least a Gardner Webb person, to come on our show.
Exactly. Maybe if your name happens to be Gardner or Webb, we'll have you on it.
That sounds good. Or if you own a Bulldog, we'll take that as well.
You know,
anyway.
My wife almost went back and got her master's from Gardner Webb. So she can almost talk on their behalf. But.
All right. They have a great hearing impaired program as far as sign language. And so I do know that very well. Folks, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Brennan Shapiro. You did an excellent job, my friend. Thank you for your help. We look forward to having you on the team, and certainly with social media, it's going to help us out. And because he's young and I'm old, I'm the old dog now.
Yeah, speaking of social media, Dave, follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. Yes. Like our Facebook page, just search for Sports Objective. Instagram at TheSportsOBJ. And you can email us at dsportsobj@gmail.com. And listen to us on the app you're listening to right now. And, of course, we're available on TuneIn, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere you listen to or steal your favorite podcast.
And YouTube as well. You can go there.
Right.
All right.
Spotify.
Miss you, Bubba. Miss Bubba tonight. But, Brennan, thank you so much, man. Welcome aboard. And the great pirate ship we call the Sports Objective. Kyle from the Grange, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Julie Corbett.
Thank you, Julie. Absolutely a great volleyball coach. In the meantime, this is Dave Richmond, and you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.